We're so fortunate today to have the Crusaders with us to come and sing for us. The Children's Church will stay through the music portion of our service, and then after the Crusaders sing, then the children will leave to go to the Children's Church area. So at this time, let's give them a big hand, the Crusaders. Thank y'all for coming.
Good morning. Now look at your neighbor and say good morning to the rest of you, okay? Good morning. Okay. We are excited about being here. We came to worship the Lord with you today and hear Pastor James speak. It was exciting when I found out that he was going to speak because one of the times we've been here before, he was filling in for Pastor Wes. But we're excited about it. I asked him about he's trying to find out about his message, so I kind of would know how to gear our songs to, and he told me it's fresh. He says sometimes when he gets up here, it's fresh. But we're just here. It's so good to see folks and people smiling. And you know, we got, as Christians, we got to have faith, right? Can we share a new song on you? Well, hopefully we can get all the words in it. It says, A Little Faith. Forgotten the words, so but anyway, but we're excited about him because we got to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We can say, oh, I've got this and I've got that, but if you don't have faith, what good is it? We got to have faith. Amen.
I can't see without my glasses. I was waiting on my band.
with memory this morning.
We're just not having it today.
Any of you folks have problems with memory? Oh, man, everybody. So you know where we're at, right?
Take two. Aren't we glad that we can go back to the Lord when we need to? We go to Him and we ask Him to forgive us of our sins and come into our heart. And who knows? We have to go back and ask again. We don't plan on it. His Word provides that we can live without sin. However, we're bombarded with sin around, and us being who we are, we sin. And we have to say, Lord, please forgive me. Please forgive me. Maybe that's where we are this morning. Maybe we need to start the service. Lord, please forgive us. If there's anything this week, anything today that we've said or done that wasn't pleasing to you, please forgive us, Lord. We want to honor Him and worship Him today. Regardless of what goes on with the sound system or with music or with words, we're here to honor Him. So you pray for us. Amen. We're going to take two.
And I
many years he walked in darkness as he traveled down the street with his hands stretched out for pennies or for just a bite to eat. It's the story of the blind man who met Jesus on his way, and with the master's touch the man looked up as the scoffers heard him say, somebody touched me, somebody touched me. Well, I was blind, but praise his name, I now can see. I was in darkness when Jesus found me, but and he made him walk again. Oh, the master saw with pleasure that he'd labored not in vain. Like the story of that crippled man, I too was bound by sin. But since the master came, oh, praise his name, thank God. Somebody touched me, somebody touched me. Well, I was blind, but praise his name, I now can see. I was in darkness Praise the Lord.
And you know, sometimes the devil has put some things out there to make us stumble against things. As Mary Ann and Mike know, I have been having a lot of problems with my throat. They can't find out what's wrong, but I know God can.
Amen.
And if I'm able to sing, if when I'm 90, I'm going to be here, Mary Ann. That's just how much I love it, and I love these people. But it's amazing how sometimes when I'm at home, I'll cough like you would not believe. I get up here to sing, and they are a witness. Oh, got chill bumps, y'all. Get up here to sing, and I don't cough that much.
Amen.
Now, you tell me that that's not a good God.
Amen.
Yes, and
Amen.
He's good all the time.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. How many of you, this is the first time you're ever hearing the Crusaders sing? They're all on this side. What's going on? All but one. Let me tell you who we are. This is Joyce Scott. Joyce just had a birthday on Tuesday. Her husband Bobby had a birthday on Wednesday.
It was Wednesday.
Yeah, your wife says Wednesday, so we're going with her, okay? And Joyce would say, you know, I'll tell her sometimes about different things. She said, wait till you get to be old. Well, I feel like I'm already old. But Joyce just had a birthday, and she turned how old? 81 years old. Give her a hand.
Bobby turned 82.
So they, you know, they're ahead of us, but you know what? They got more, what do you call it? Spring in their step, get up and go. I think after we sing on a weekend, we get home, Marianne and I, we just get up out of the recliner. And I think they're up early working in the yard and doing all that stuff. And I'm thinking, oh, I'm not trying to keep up with them, bro. Not trying. My dad was that way. He would work, but I told somebody one day, I said, you know, I am not trying to keep up with him because he would work you to death. But this is my wife. This month makes 47 years that we've been married on the 27th. Would you make Mary Ann welcome? Amen. And we have Shirley Smith in the back that helps us out, and we're glad to have her with us today. My name is Michael. That makes up the Crusaders. But give the Lord a hand clap because he is worthy. Amen. Amen. Sometimes our eyes with tears run over when pain. Finally over. would like to say we have a product table set up in the foyer, and we appreciate you stopping by. Thank you so much for allowing us to come, and I'm anxious to hear Pastor James preach, and I know we're getting ready to let the children go out. Is that okay? And amen, brother. I hear you over there. But we are excited about Jesus. Trust that if you don't know him today, that you'll allow him to come into your heart and be what he needs to be for you. God bless you.
All right, my brother. Thank you, my brother. Let's give him one more big hand there. They did a good job. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. I tell you, that was really good. Yes, the children's church will go with Miss Linda Graham, and she's in the back, so the children can go with her. They have all kind of electronic components. I have one. Us old people, us people have to have some lights every once in a while. But it's good to see you today. Thank you for coming. Praise the Lord. We've had some warm weather for sure here in Lee County. I don't know, where are y'all from, the Crusaders? Harnett County. Yes. Well, we've had some warm days here. A bird lit in my front yard, pulled a worm out of the ground, had to blow on it for 5 minutes before it could swallow it. It's hot, brothers and sisters. It's hot. And a dog was chasing a cat through my yard, and they both were walking. It's just too hot to run. So we're glad to have you today. And if you would turn with me in the book of 2 Samuel chapter 9. 2 Samuel chapter 9. And I want to talk to you about a young man who lived in a desert land. A real desolate place, a terrible place he lived in. We want to look at his situation just for a few minutes. And before we do, let's go to the Lord once again in prayer. Our Father in heaven, please control me by the Holy Spirit. Let this be your time and your service, and let it lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. He is number one. He is to be looked at, and he is to have all come to him in everything that he is. He is number one, so we want him to be that today. Thank you for these who've come. Bless us now, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. You remember old King Saul? King Saul had three sons, Jonathan and a couple more, they went to battle one time, battling the Philistines. The two sons, other than Jonathan, both of them, all three of them actually were killed by the Philistines. And Saul was struck by several arrows, he later died, not by his hand, but by someone else's hand. And King David became the king. In 2 Samuel chapter 9, David became the king of Israel, and he was going to be a great king, as you well know. And in chapter 9, verse 1, David said, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king, and said unto him, "Art thou Ziba?" And he said, "Thy servant is he." The king said, "Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Jonathan hath yet a son which is lame on his feet." Now the young man that I'm going to talk to you about, if you'll turn with me to the book, the same book in chapter 4, verse 4, chapter 4, verse 4, it'll tell you about this young man that we're going to talk about. Chapter 4 of 2 Samuel, verse 4. And Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son, and he was lame on his feet. He was 5 years old when the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel that they were dead. And so the nurse took him up and fled. And it came to pass, as she made haste to flee, that he fell and became lame. And his name was Mephibosheth. Now, the young man's name is Mephibosheth that we're going to talk about. He was in a desolate land now at this point in time in chapter 9, and you go back to chapter 9. He was in this desolate place, this desolate land, and the problem that he had was that he had fallen when the nurse picked him up, and she was in haste because Jonathan was dead, his father was dead, his grandfather Saul was dead, and so she was fleeing the country, and whether he fell from an animal or he fell from a ledge or whatever, but the boy fell. And apparently it broke both of his ankles, and the Bible said that he was lame on his feet. So when David asked, is there a son, a child left of Saul and Jonathan and of the family, Ziba said, yes, there's one. There's one. He is lame on his feet. Not much good to you, David, but he is a son, and his condition is helpless, you see. He was lame on his feet, and this is a picture of every person born by natural ways, by natural conception, because we have a condition, and that condition is sin, and it's the result of somebody else. Mephibosheth, now if I get all tangled up with Mephibosheth, I might just call him Bo. Y'all won't mind, will you, if I get all tangled up and I'll just call him Bo. Well, Mephibosheth, he was the result, his condition, his helpless condition was a result of somebody else. You and I, born natural, by natural conception, we inherited a condition, and that is sin, and it's the result of somebody else, Adam and Eve, and it's passed on down to us, and we have a helpless condition. I can't do anything about that sin. I need a Savior. I need somebody to come to me and to help me with my situation because I'm helpless. Now, notice there was something else about this. He was hopeless. Notice that in verse 4, the king said unto Ziba, once they said, now this young man's got some issues, he's got some problems, he's got some conditions. The king said, where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he's in a house of Machir, the son of Amiel, but he's in Lodabar. He's in a place called Lodabar. Now let me tell you about Lodabar. Lodabar is the middle of nowhere. Lodabar is a dry and crusty land. There is even no pastures there. They don't have pastures where they could have sheep and goats and animals. They don't have that. It was a desert. It was a desert land. Isn't that the way it is when we're not saved? We're in a desert land. It's dry and crusty, and we try to make it as good as we possibly can before we get saved, and it's still dry and crusty. Lodabar, he was helpless, and he was hopeless. And so the king, King David sent and fetched him. Now let me show you something else about his call. First off was his condition. He was helpless and he was hopeless. It was in a dry and dusty land, a dry and terrible land. But then notice that there was a call came out in verse 5. Then the king David sent and fetched him out of that land and out of Machir. You see, the boy was poor. He couldn't even have a house. He couldn't even have his own home. He was staying with somebody. He depended on somebody else for everything that he got. And that's the way it is if you're unsaved today in our land. You are depending upon somebody else for everything you got, but you don't even realize that the Lord is pouring out blessings upon you. He's taking care of you. He's feeding you. He's supplying every need, and you're turning your back on him. And see, this boy lived in a house that wasn't his in the Lodabar. Down in Lodabar. But then the Bible said he got a call. He got a call. The king said, so go down there and find him. Go down there and get that boy. Beloved, Aren't you glad that one day the king said, go down there and talk to them. Go down there and say something to them. Go down there and tell them that I want to see them. Go down there and tell them I got something for them. I'm so glad that, beloved, when I heard that gospel call, I received Jesus as my Savior because I was down in Lodibar. I was in the desert. I was in a faraway place. I couldn't do anything for myself. I had a condition. I had a bad condition. It was going to kill me one day and send me to a terrible place. But the king called me. I got a call from the king. The king said, come on up here. I got something for you. Well, let me show you what happened to the boy. Let me show you what happened. In verse 9 of chapter 9, now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was coming to David, he fell on his face and he did reverence. And David had said, Mephibosheth. Now, you'll notice whenever Ziba said he's got a son, he never told David his name. But the king knew his name. He said, Mephibosheth. Beloved, the king knows your name. He knows you by name. And beloved, if you're not saved today in our service, the king right now, he's saying to you, come up to me. Come to me. I want to talk to you. I got something for you. Come to me if you will. Come. I've got something for you. And old Mephibosheth bowed down. He bowed down to the king. And he said, Mephibosheth. And he answered, behold thy servant. Look in verse 7. And David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul, the father of thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And old Mephibosheth, he bowed himself to the ground, and he said this to the servant. He said, I'm your servant, and thou shouldst look upon me such as a dead dog as I am. He said, old Mephibosheth said, I ain't got anything to give to you. King, I can't do anything for you. Look, I'm crippled. I'm lame in my feet. I can't do anything. Isn't that what we have to say when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ? Lord, I hadn't got anything to offer you. I hadn't got anything to give to you. But you're calling me. You're going to give me everything here that you said you was going to give me. You're going to give me everything of my father's grandfather Saul. You're going to give me all that stuff. And then what did you say? You said I could eat at your table. What? Because I'm a dead dog? Jesus is the same way. We don't have anything to offer him. We don't have anything to offer him. But he says, listen, if you'll come to me, I will receive you just as you are. Just with all the conditions you got. With all those problems you got. With all those crippling things that are hindering you from doing anything for me. I will take you just as you are. And I will restore unto you life like it ought to be. Oh, Mephibosheth, listen. Oh, Mephibosheth went from nowhere to somewhere. Oh, Mephibosheth went from Podunk to the palace. Oh, Mephibosheth went from the ghetto to the garden. Oh, Mephibosheth, see, Bo went from poverty to riches. And he went from pork and beans to pot roast. And he went from a nobody to a somebody. And that's what's happened to every one of us that know Jesus Christ as our Savior. We left old Lodibar behind us. We left that dry and crusted land behind us. And we received the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. And now we're sitting at the king's table. The Lord said to us, I'll let you sit at my table as one of my sons. That's what David said. You can sit at my table. You don't have to worry about your food anymore. You don't have to worry about all this stuff anymore. I will let you sit at my table. And I'm so thankful to be sitting at the Father's table. If you're saved today, you're sitting at the Father's table. You're sitting at Jesus' table. You're sitting with him. You're sitting at the king's table. And then the king called Ziba and said, now, listen, Ziba, in verse 9, I've given to thy master's son all that pertains to Saul. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land. You'll till the land for him, and you'll bring in fruits, and you'll feed him. And he'll eat bread always at my table. That's the second time the king said it. And then in verse 11, then said Ziba to the king, according to all that my lord the king hath commanded, his servants will do. And so thy servant will do. And as Mephibosheth said to the king, he said, he shall eat at my table as one of my sons. In verse 11, that's the second time he said it. And then in verse 13, Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did not continually. He did sat continually at the king's table and was lame on both his feet. And here's the picture. Here's a young man, lame on his feet, couldn't work, didn't have a house, lived with somebody else, lived in a dry and parched land, nothing. He couldn't even work. They didn't even have any pastures for the cattle or the sheep or the goats. Didn't have anything down there. It was just a place of nowhere. It was the ghetto. It was down in the nowhere, in the middle of nowhere. King called him one day, said, would you come? Would you come home? Would you come to me? He responded. He could have refused it. Remember the person sitting at the well? Well, he was sitting in the place there, and then Jesus came by, and the man said, I don't have anybody to take me to the pool, so when the angel troubles the water, Jesus said, do you want to be healed? He asked him. Because you see, some people are happy to stay in Lodabar. Some people want to stay down there. They like it. They got used to it. And they want to stay in Lodabar. Beloved, look around you. If you're not saved today, you're in a dry and parched land. And you have nothing to offer. You have nothing. And beloved, that place is going to take you to another place one day. And you don't want to be there. You don't want to be in that place called hell. You don't want to go there. Listen, the king is calling you today. The king is saying, listen, would you come to me? Would you come to me? And if you'll come to him, he'll say, I'm going to give you all this. I'm going to clear up everything. I'm going to forgive you of all your sins. I'm going to clear up all this. And besides that, you're going to be able to sit at my table. I want you to think with me now. I've got something to talk to you about. Listen, I remember my teacher saying one time, put on your thinking cap. And I didn't get one. Hey, somebody passed them out and didn't give me one. My third grade teacher loved me. She did. She loved me because I heard her one day tell another teacher, I wish he were mine for one day. She loved me. She wanted to adopt me. Yeah, I know she did. She was all about teaching. She taught me the fine art of dusting erasers. If you got any erasers that need dusting, I'm the man. I'm a professional at it. She also taught me how to wash a blackboard. Now, we had blackboards, not green boards, white boards, pink boards, green boards, electric boards. We didn't have any of that. We had blackboards with chalk. She taught me how to wash those boards. She liked the way that I did it apparently so well that she let me do it more than the other boys. I was her board washer. And by the time, and she would say, listen, James, you wash the board again, and then we're going out to recess, and when you get through, you can come out. Well, by the time I got there, they'd already divided up into teams, and they were playing softball, you know, and that hindered my athletic abilities. But they did let me play third base. They did. I don't mean with a glove or anything. I mean I was third base. I was third base. And people would tag you, you know, and slide into you and stuff like that, you know. Stuff like that. And you get a different perspective of the ball game if you can see it this way, you know? But think with me. Think with me. Here is Mephibosheth. He's got a condition, bad condition. But when his feet are under the table, you don't see him. You don't know that. When I received Christ as my Savior, he covered me with the blood of Jesus Christ. Covered me with the blood of Jesus Christ so that when the Father looks at me, he doesn't see my condition prior to being saved. He sees the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm sitting at the King's table with my feet under the table, and I'm just like every other born-again believer in Christ. He doesn't see the condition. Are you sitting at the table today? If you are, all that other whatever you did and didn't do and whatever happened in your life and all those things that you're ashamed of and all that stuff, listen, beloved, don't worry about it. You're under the table. Your condition is sitting there under the table. You can't. The Lord Jesus Christ has covered you with the blood of the Lamb. He's covered you. You're clean now. Listen, the Lord won't bring that up against you. He won't. He said, as far away as the east is from the west, behind my shoulder blades, I'll not bring that up against you. Now, the devil does. Listen, this is something you can take to heart. Anytime the devil brings up your past, you start thinking about his future. Where's he going? Bottomless pit and the lake of fire. Bottomless pit and the lake of fire. He'll just shut up about your past. Don't you let him worry you with it. You're under the blood. You're under the table. Can't you imagine? Here was Mephibosheth. Here was Mephibosheth. And you know what David said to him? You'll sit at my table as one of the king's sons. His problem was under the table. Couldn't be seen. He was sitting there, acting like, living like, and being like a son. You see, when you receive Christ as your Savior, he takes you from Lodabar, brings you to his table, and he treats you like his child. He loves you, loves me, loves all of us. Now, when he calls, you have to respond. You have to say yes. He'll take you from the ghetto to the garden. He'll take you from podunk to the palace. He'll take you from pork and beans to pot roast. And he'll change your life forever. Would you bow with me, please, in prayer? Every head bowed and every eye closed. And I just ask you, where are you today? Are you still in Lodabar? Are you still in that far away, distant land? If you are, let me tell you, the King's calling you. The King is asking for you to come see him. The King wants to talk to you. You know what he's going to tell you? I love you. And I'm going to let you be like one of my sons. You'll sit at my table. You'll be covered. Not, no need to worry and be ashamed of anything. What you can do or what you can't do, what you have done, don't worry about that. You're going to sit at my table like my son, and you'll be accepted as my child. Anyone that would raise your hand and say, "Preacher, listen to me. I'm in Lodabar right now, and I don't want to stay there. King's calling me. Can I come home?" Anyone, would you raise your hand and I'll pray for you? Anyone? Maybe you are a child of God and you're sitting at the table, but you just kind of pushed yourself back away from the table and just kind of got away from the Lord and you just hadn't served the Lord like you should. You just haven't been serving the Lord. Well, you need to rededicate your life. You need to get straightened out. You need to come out of that old hog pen. prodigal son found himself in a hog pen. You need to come out of there so you can be used by the Lord to do the work of the Lord. Anyone? I'm going to close in prayer. The crusaders will come back and then we'll have another closing prayer. But we praise the Lord that you're here with us today and trust that you have heard the gospel call. The King's calling you. He wants you to come be one of his children. Our Father in heaven, we praise you for today and pray that you're pleased. Let us worship the Lord Jesus. Lift him up. In him all fullness dwells. And we know that when we receive him as our Savior, all these conditions are taken care of and covered, and we're treated like your children. We've been adopted to your family. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll ask the crusaders to come back.
This morning, if I didn't know the Lord, I would want to come to know him. Pastor James delivered a message that we should all heed to. And I feel his presence. Amen. This morning. I know he's in the house. And it's still not too late. It's still not too late. We are a gospel singing group. This is Pastor James. He preaches the word. But we are all on the same team. We're all on the same team. Our goal is to help lead somebody to come to know the Lord. Of all the songs we sing, if we could sing one and it would cause somebody to kneel and to ask the Lord to come, it would be worth every mile we've ever traveled. Yes. I want you to help us sing this song. It talks about there's something about the name of Jesus. Just a very simple song. Would you please help us sing?
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus.
great. Let's give them a big hand. Thank you so much. Praise the Lord. We appreciate them. Appreciate you being with us today. Let's all stand and we'll have a closing prayer. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, as we bow before you, we are grateful for this day. We thank you for your blessings. We praise you for everything you've done for us and given to us. And thank you for bringing us from Lodabar to the King's table. Thank you now and bless as we go. Remember that Jesus is number one. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, and you're dismissed.